because I was looking for our magazine. We just came back from vacation, and the people who work here have decided that we don't need magazines.
You know what?
Stop complaining. Anyway.
Stop complaining.
All right. Yes. Oh, wait. We forgot to introduce ourselves.
I'm Jade.
And I'm Winona. And we're trying to be professional today because the person we're interviewing just got finished doing the homework.
Yeah, I mean, we should be so professional. But you guys know it's not going to happen, right? No. It's kind of like when we say that books are coming out, and then like 3 months later, then they actually come out. Yeah, that's just how we roll.
The book that we're going to say is coming out today is actually going to come out. It better. I'm sorry.
She's pointing at me.
Yeah, she's pointing at me.
I remember when you pointed at someone.
One finger's pointing.
Damn. Knowledge drop in the morning. Yes. Okay, so we go books. And I thought voice was bad. Other life lessons. Sorry, I cracked myself up. And I thought being grown up with Evie. Okay, you guys, these two books are gonna come out in July as audiobooks, so check it out on Audible. That'll be exciting. And I thought I could juggle it all. Yeah, we
sold out.
Yeah, we don't have that. And I thought I did my journey alone. And I thought I had it all figured out in fiction, episode one. Guys, Winona does not need to be more famous, so do not read her script book and do not make it into a movie, because I don't know if her head will fit through the door.
I'm just saying.
And I thought he was the one. Haven't we all been there?
And then we have And I Thought the Workbook, and we are the editors of the magazine 25 Hottest Indie Authors, Artists, and Advocates, which we do not have. Thank you, staff.
Anyway,
the shame of blowing is now cool. You know you're not this person. Stop it.
I know, I'm seriously not. Anyway, we also have the docu-series on Amazon and Channel 18 in California. It's called Just Right and Right. And I get to explain it this time. So one sentence, just one. It's where they follow us and our celebrity writers' lifestyle. That is such a lie. We ain't celebrity. No. Anyway.
Also. Hey,
don't forget our charity.
andwethought.com. Please go to the ladies page and take a moment to see the charities that we proudly support right there in the middle. Click on them and support them too. It would be awesome. You'll feel good at the end of it. But you guys aren't here to hear about us. You're here to hear about our wonderful guest. Wonderful guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, how are you? My name is Rob Shear, and I'm the founder of a charity called Comfort Cases. This is so amazing. You guys are so popular. I'm so happy to be with you. So thank you.
The man has been on the Hallmark channel. That's hilarious. I love it. Thank you for that.
It's amazing. First of all, you know, as you said, click on the charity and you feel good about yourself. See, for me, I think it is absolutely a privilege for each and every one of us to give back. And, you know, for us, it's about the foster care system. And so we have support through the system. And what we believe is that if you cannot adopt, foster. If you cannot foster, donate. If you cannot donate, volunteer. And if you cannot volunteer, educate yourself. Educate yourself about the system. The system is absolutely shattered. We started the charity about 4.5 years ago, and I had realized that our system, with over 430,000 children in it, they were still carrying trash bags from one home to the next. See, my children entered our home 9 years ago, right in the DC foster care system. All four of them carried a trash bag. When I entered the system over 40 years ago, I also carried a trash bag. And I'm not talking about someone gives you a trash bag when you leave a home. I'm talking about social service agencies giving trash bags out for these kids to carry their stuff. It's not acceptable. It is what we call dignity. These kids deserve to have it. No child has ever asked to be put in foster care, so we need to make sure we're making the right choices for them.
I think it's interesting, partly because I'm a writer, and when I saw what you did, and then I thought about the words foster and then care, it's just like you gave the government the job of making sure that the children were supported emotionally and spiritually. And okay, honestly, when we go to the MBA, we can't get emotional support, and we're paying them.
I know.
Obviously, we need to help. So when like, and I knew quite a few of my friends, so before we asked you, we went around and we talked to them about their experiences.
And also, in my past career, I was a sign language interpreter, so I got to see some of that firsthand. And when I read about what you guys do, I said, we have to have them.
Honestly, she was the person to find you.
Yeah, I was like, we have to have them on.
So I do have a question. You were coming to a question, go figure. But my thing is, what are three things that we can do? Like, just small things. Because, you know, immediately you go, Foster, I can't fix the whole system. But what are the three things, small things?
First of all, the very first thing that we need to do is we need to stop calling them foster children. Okay? These are children. These are children in care. These are children in the foster care system. But at the end of the day, they are children. You know, I have been blessed to go all over the United States, and I've spoken to thousands of children in care. And the one thing they've asked is, Mr. Rob, stop labeling us. Stop labeling us. I don't have this. I don't understand as a country why it's so necessary that we must label each other. You know, I have my own identity and I don't need you to label me, you know, and I don't need children that are in care to be called foster children. Immediately we put them differently. So that's the first step. Let's stop calling them foster children. Number two, everybody can give back. I do not care what level of income you have. You can give back. You can give back your time. Go to a group home. Shoot some basketball with these boys that are in these group homes. Go with these girls and, you know, sit down with them and talk to them about self-love. See, my son's mother was 12 years old when he was born. 12. She wasn't a bad girl. She was a girl who wanted to be loved. No one had ever taught her how to love herself. Go to one of these group homes and teach these kids how to love themselves. And then the third thing, and I truly believe, lead by example. Stop the talk. Start being a doer. See, our world is full of people who take. We need to be doers. Doers are what makes change happen on a daily basis. You must walk away from this interview and say, how can I today be a doer? If you do not be a doer, then you're not making yourself anything. When you end this world, we all will end either in a box or we will end in a coffin of some sort. What we all do is we end together. No one ever reminds you how much money you have. But what they will remind you is, how did you impact your community? How did you impact your community? Were you a true doer or were you a taker? So those three things.
Okay, so
I had other questions.
We had questions, but now we're over here with
now I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, I need to do more. I wanted to say, honestly, when he was saying this, I thought that you took the idea right out of my head, so it doesn't even count now. I'm going to say it anyway to fill in some space, because I think of a new question for you. But I wanted to say that, like, with the platform that we have today, not just our platform, but we have, like, Twitter, we have Instagram, we have Snapchat, we have a... Come on, people. You've got at least a few friends that follow us. We can at least share that. That's the least we can do. But as you said, we need to be a doer. So as a person, like, when you first get to children, what is, like, the first thing that you want them to know about themselves? Like, because I know, remember hearing someone coming in and they were like, he said safe. Oh, sorry?
Okay. No, number one, the first thing that you need to make sure, and by the way, we are all not cut out to be foster parents. Okay, this is an industry that makes money on the backs of children. Let's be very honest about this. The system is not broke. Don't let anyone tell you the system is broke. Broken things can be put back together with super glue. Things that are shattered must be rebuilt. Our system is shattered. We have to rebuild it. So what we have to first do is we have to make sure that we have good homes for these kids, not beds. Let's stop counting the beds. Let's start counting the homes. If you are in your heart looking to truly impact a child's life, to make them feel safe, to make them feel loved, to make them feel wanted, which is what we all want at the end of the day, then you need to become a foster parent. But if those things are not able to happen, and you shouldn't do it. It should not be about the check. At the end, it's always about the money. And that's where we have to stop. You know, you got to look at the statistics of kids in care. People do not realize the statistics that we have. And I'm going to throw some numbers out. Are going to shock you. 2 out of 3 children in the foster care system will be dead or in jail. 2 out of 3. Only 3% of kids that are in the foster care system graduate with a 4-year degree. Only 3%. 70% of all girls who enter the system today will be pregnant by the time they are 18 years old. 70%. These are not bad girls. juvenile detention centers, our prisons are full. Over 80% of the people in prisons today have been touched by the system. You know we're doing something right? I can tell you the numbers that show that we're not. We have got to rebuild this system, and we have to rebuild it by people listening, people talking about it. When's the last time you said the word foster? When's the last time someone talked about, you know, I said this just the other day, you know, at our church, no one's ever come to our church and ever talked to us about becoming foster parents. Why is that? Why are we not talking about it? You know, I was just talking to somebody online the other day, and I said, you know, if every church in the United States stepped up, became a foster parent, which is why what they say they're there to do, we wouldn't have a problem. The fact is, we have a problem because we don't have enough people becoming good parents for these kids. And that's what they need. They don't need group homes. They need parents.
I have a question, and it's going to deal with some stigma, and I'm sorry about that. But, you know, people have, like, stigma around people, children that are in care, foster care. How can people overcome that in their own mind? Because you have to overcome that in your own mind before you can share love with a child. I know, and it's mean, and I'm sorry, but I think that really is a question.
The question's valid, and it's true. Go to our website and look at my children's face, okay? The fact is that I know what everyone thinks. We all think that this is a race thing, first of all. We think it's an inner city thing. And let's all discuss and be honest with the fact that the majority of children that are in care are white. They're my skin color, not yours. Okay, so let's figure this out right now. This is not a race issue. Let's also figure out the fact that these kids are children. We immediately label them. And the reason we label them is because the more you label them, the more the government will pay money. The more you label, the more money gets paid. See, when my four children arrived in my home, I will tell you that we were told that they were troubled children. One of them, they said, would never walk. One of them said they wouldn't be able to ever talk. We were told that one of them had bleeding of the brain, so he probably would never be able to get to only a certain level. You know, one of them was a biter. You know, these were children who had a rough start. By the way, my kids now, 9 years later, I have honor roll students. I have kids who stand up in their community and spread the word of love. I have kids who truly know what it's like to be kids. And by the way, that's not unusual for kids in care. Kids are resilient. If you give kids the safety, the love, and the compassion that everyone deserves, children can be everything and more. And by the way, they want to be. They want to be. You know.
Okay, so I had to address that because I, as I said, I used to work in the school system, and there were a couple of a few children that were in here, and I came home, and I told my dad, and he was like, "I always knew this day was gonna come. Will you recognize?" You could adopt like 75 children if you had the room. He's like, I knew this day was going to come because your heart is just too big. I cried over these children. And he was like, I knew that you were going to come to this day. I mean, I haven't adopted, of course.
We have to, first of all, start peeling away the myths. Okay, the myths. We have so many people that go overseas to adopt. And by the way, my husband and I, we were going to do the same exact thing because we didn't want one of those kids. It was one of those kids. I grew up in the system. I became a homeless kid at the age of 18, lived on the streets of the D.C. area, put myself through high school my senior year as I lived on the street and ate out of a trash can that you probably passed. The fact is that I believe. We have to believe in these kids. And the myth is they're not bad kids. There's no such thing as a bad child. It is a child that needs to be redirected. It's a child that needs to be redirected. These kids, of course, they're tough kids. Look what they've gone through. You know, people don't realize that you look at kids that are in care. Do you realize that the average length of time they're in homes is 7 homes? Mm-hmm. Could you imagine
Absolutely.
In 7 different families? Could you imagine changing 7 different schools? I met a boy, 14 years old, up in Rochester, New York last year. Been in 12 homes. 12 homes. Why? The fact is that these kids are gonna push you away because the only thing they've ever known is heartache. And if they bring you close, that means that they might have to love. And if they love, they'll get hurt because that's all they've ever seen.
Exactly.
Well, our time is gone.
We'll have to have you back.
More questions. Yes. So we have an advocacy roundtable, and I was going to cancel it this year, but after hearing you, I'm definitely going to uncancel that.
We're uncanceled. Yay!
We'll definitely love to have you talk. Marilyn Hawes is someone who does child abuse in the UK, and one of the reasons that she thinks child abuse is because of foster care, and she's coming over to the US to start a chapter here. So I definitely want you guys to be together.
Oh, I would love that, because let me tell you, foster care is the gateway of human trafficking. That's all I'm
saying. Exactly. And foster, I was just going to say that.
The gateway of human trafficking. We have 4,600 children today, 4,600 kids in the United States that are missing. We don't know where they are. These are foster children who are missing. Why are they not on milk cartons? Why don't you see them across your news cameras? Why are we not talking about these kids? Why? Once you start talking about it, you have to accept responsibility. You have to accept responsibility. Our communities were only built for one reason, ladies. It was for you and I to take care of each other. If we wait for our government to do it, we will fail over and over and over. We as a collective whole must come together and show why we have communities. And the first thing we need to do, start taking care of our kids. By the way, these kids are our kids. They're not yours. They're not mine. They don't belong to the state. They belong to all of us. All of us. And once we wake up and realize that, we're going to have a better day tomorrow for those kids. I know it.
Absolutely. And what fine words to end on. But one last question. Where can people find you, help with
cars? Awesome. So that, thank you for saying that, because it's so important. So first of all, visit comfortcases.org. We are in 38 states. We've given out about 35,000 cases. I have a book coming out, talking all about books. I have a book coming out in November called A Forever Family, that Simon & Schuster and Derek Jeter are publishing. We're excited about that. Go and to the Ellen show and see our clip. We were on Ellen not long ago and talked about the fact of, what are you going to do to be a doer? A doer. Go to comfortcases.org and see how you can be a doer in your community. And remember, ladies, it does not matter where you live. Whether you live in San Francisco or Dallas, Texas, or Annapolis, Maryland, or even my little town of Darnestown, Maryland, we are all part of the same community, and we must support each other. So thank you.
Thank you for coming, and wow, you guys, so, you know, normally we're silly at the end, and that's just not probably going to happen. So let's just go with, you can check out everything your ladies are doing at andresort.com, and also, you guys, remember that wisdom is all around you if you're open to finding it and accepting it. So peace and love, you guys, from Ramona and Jade. Bye-bye.